Good afternoon, Ralph. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rocky.
First thing I want to ask, what is it about intergenerational programs like this that have made them so successful?
Well, I think one of the things that's really important in aged care is that older people just don't want to hang out with older people. And I think that's one of the assumptions. So I think what Humanitas has done is kind of connect generations in meaningful ways. And so we do have a similar program in Australia called Home Share, where international students are matched with people who live at home and are frail, and they get free rent for sharing their time and resources with the older person. So not doing physical care tasks, but doing things like having a meal with them, talking to them, watching TV, as you suggested. So I think the idea of intergenerational connections is a good one, but you need resources to make it happen.
And so where are these outside-of-the-box solutions coming from? Who's having these ideas?
Well, my research was on talking to older people who actually lived in residential aged care facilities or what the public would normally think of as nursing homes. And I think where some of these great ideas have come from across the world are people who've been, like Humanitas, Hans Becker, who set up Humanitas, has been to Australia a few times. And what he talks about is the need to really care about the lives of older people when they're frail and not seeing them as kind of hospital patients. But they're people who have some frailty and still want to be connected to and be part of the world. Whereas in Australia, we've had much more of a tradition of creating institutional care for older people, and that tends to be things like nursing homes, which tend to be very large. And so I think it's people who can think outside the box and think about how we might create smaller places that have more intimacy, that allow people to get to know one another. And certainly the people I spoke to in my research wanted more of that connection with other people. And smaller allows that, whereas larger institutions, that's much harder to do. And I often say to my students when I'm teaching, people will say to me, well, it's a 200-bed facility, but it's very home-like. And I ask my students to perhaps get in a helicopter and fly above it and tell me it's home-like when they've done that. So I think there's a whole lot of noise that people make about how big institutions can be home-like, but I think Humanitas has really turned that notion on its head, and the greenhouses in the United States are another example of that, where they've created much more home-like environments where there are 8 to 10 people living in a residential aged care facility. So I think there are things we can do, but it takes courage, and it takes people like Hans Becker and Bill Thomas in the United States, who were really radical thinkers who somehow captured the imagination of the community to do things differently.
So in Australia, what's stopping these changes from being made?
Well, I think, one, we have a system that is funded in a certain way. And as you said in your intro, the Royal Commission into Aged Care, which put its final report to government earlier this year, basically said Australia has a transactional system that basically needs to have more care in it and more sense of what do the older people and their families want in these facilities. So I think, firstly, it takes a willingness to question some of the assumptions. When I started working in this area about 20 years ago, a lot of facilities were about 30 to 40 beds in size. Now, you know, people say you can't make a profit unless it's 200 beds. So we have seen a shift economically to facilities being larger. And I would like to say to your listeners that what really irritates me about that, in every other area of social policy, so disability, mental health, we have made facilities smaller. So we don't have large children's institutions anymore. We don't have large disability. But somehow as a society, we think it's okay to institutionalize people, older people, in larger facilities. And so I think it's some passion about wanting to make it better. But if I could just add to that, I think what gets in the way is most of us don't want to think about growing old. And when I was talking to your producer earlier, what most people fantasize is they're going to be 92, they're going to jump out of a plane on their birthday, and then they're going to die in their sleep, and it's all going to be lovely. That is what we call an outlier. So she is someone who has good genes and has a whole lot of things going for her. But older age for most of us is a mixture of both the joys and the limitations that come because we're animals and we age. And some of that brings with it frailty and challenges. But how do we create facilities that allow people to stay engaged with their community and their life? And certainly the older people I interviewed told me that's what they wanted. They wanted to be engaged with life. And my research was talking to a group of older people who lived in a facility, three different facilities, and they said to me at the end of my research, Ralph, we wish you could come back every week and talk to us because we never get the opportunity to have a chat like this about aged care and what it means. So I think there's a real hunger, but not enough resourcing in the system to actually provide the sorts of activities that you talked about in Humanitas.
That was really good insight. Thanks so much for joining us, Ralph.
You're welcome.